Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome back to Circles of Change in our final segment here, and it's a pleasure to actually invite back in and welcome on the show a repeat guest, Jonathan Ellerbe. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. I'm actually quite honored and excited to be back.
Yes, well, it's a fun experience. Of course, we first spoke with Jonathan over 18 months ago about his first book, which was called Return to the Sacred, Spiritual Healing in Times of Change. And if you recall, Jonathan, at the close of that show, you and I started kicking around the term IDD, Inspiration Deficit Disorder, right?
That's right.
And here we are now, 18 months later, and you indeed have released a second book. Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. I'm actually very excited about it.
Welcome. Well, and before we go there, let me give a brief introduction to Jonathan for our listeners who may not be familiar with his work. He's originally from Winnipeg, Canada, and has dedicated over 20 years of his life to the personal, professional, and academic exploration of spirituality, healing, and consciousness. Jonathan has traveled the world to meet, study with, and walk in the shoes of spiritual teachers for more than 40 cultural traditions. And explaining how spirituality was always my thing since I was a kid, Jonathan earned the Doctorate of Comparative Religion in 2006, a six-year journey involving often coincidentally reconnecting with people he had met many years ago. Jonathan has worked then as a healer, teacher, and consultant, and right now, of course, is known here in Tucson for his work with Canyon Ranch as their director of spiritual programs. In 2004, he and his then-fiancée Monica, who's also dedicated to holistic health and spirituality, took an intuitive leap and moved to Tucson, and they knew that opportunities through change would find them, including now being first-time parents of a young son, Narayan, and again, as I mentioned, Jonathan's groundbreaking and continued work at Canyon Ranch. So here we are with a next book coming out August 15th, right?
Well, it comes out August 15th, but it's actually already available on Amazon. They do pre-sales, and one of the mixed blessings about Amazon is that they basically start shipping the books out as soon as they get them. So
yeah.
Here we are a couple weeks or so before the release date, and Amazon's busy beating all the bookstores to the punch.
Don't you love it? Well, as an author, this is a good thing, right?
I guess so. But well, go to your local bookstore and support them as well.
There you go. Well, again, the title of Jonathan's book is The Inspiration Deficit Disorder, with the subtitle The No-Pill Prescription to End High Stress, Low Energy, and Bad Habits. So I have to ask you, where and how did you come up with that term, IDD?
Well, you know, it's funny. When I came out with the first book, which I can't even seem to remember, although it wasn't long ago, right? It was just less than 2 years ago. I had to create a press packet in January. I think it was January 08, something to that effect. And part of the press packet is they always like us to have suggested interview topics. Well, you know, I have this great, I mean, you gave me this great introduction. I have a background, obviously, in spirituality and health. So a lot of it was about spirituality and religion today and what spirituality has to say about this and that. But the truth is, the majority of my applied work and my professional work has been very mainstream, and it's been very much connected to modern medicine and integrative medicine and contemporary psychology, and it's really been about helping people manage stress and energy and habits. So I decided to just throw in there an extra topic that I called Inspiration Deficit Disorder, just to sort of a play on words, just to add one more topic to catch some of the more generic conversations around stress and struggle. And the amazing thing was, no matter how many times we sent this little packet out, most of the media that saw it wanted to talk to me about IDD. And not about the new book and not about all the other topics. They said, what's inspiration deficit disorder? So, of course, you know, by the time I'd gone through this, you know, after a few months, I said, you know, this has to be the name of the next book. And really, it is exactly, you know, what I've just described. It's It's more of what I do on a daily basis. It's how I help people to manage difficult decisions and feeling stuck, and when, you know, when there's something missing in life. And IDD is really about the feeling of disconnection from who we really are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when people say things like, oh, something's missing, or I don't feel like myself anymore, that's the beginning of an inspiration deficit. We're missing the fuel that comes from the inside out.
And, you know, I think part of that, or I suspect some of your studies and what brought you to this book, perhaps it's because we let so much go from the outside in and distract us then.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's understandable. We live in a world that is very externally driven, from the expectations of parents to the expectations of schools to the expectations of the media. You know, we're constantly bombarded with messages about what success looks like and what happiness should look like and how, frankly, how we should even appear, how we should look. So it's natural for people to kind of gradually fall into this external motivation because, hey, as kids, it makes sense to want to listen to your parents. It makes sense to want to be liked or to fit in. But it's a slippery, gradual slope where, you know, a little bit at a time, we take in the stories of the world around us, and we fail to realize that a lot of those stories we are accepting unconsciously,
mm-hmm.
And frankly, unskillfully. Sometimes we're accepting stories about who we are or what happiness is in a way that doesn't even make sense, in a way that might not even be meaningful for us.
Oh, and most definitely then that guides us perhaps to make all the wrong choices. And certainly, you know, certainly is not relevant to you and I, as you know, my work on motivated abilities, on things that you're truly gifted to do and to be. And suddenly you find yourself shuffling that stuff off to the rug or not even allowing yourself to be awake to it.
You know, and that's why, Frank, you know, I'm so excited about the work that you do. And I tell people about it, and you and I have talked about it in the past, you know, to help people through whatever path, whether mm-hmm. it's yours or some other approach, but to help people to know themselves better, to be able to discern what actually revitalizes them, what engages them, what raises their enthusiasm, is really not a luxury. A lot of people feel like that sort of narcissistic self-help, you know, everyone wants to do whatever they want. But what they fail to realize is that when we disconnect from our motivated abilities, from our passion, from what I call our essence, it spirals not only into the behaviors that seek to compensate for the lack of energy and connection, but it also shows up in our physical health. Because two things that we know are, one, that stress is the number one reason for hospital for physician-related visits. So number one reason for people going to their family doctors, the number one aggravator of medical conditions. And two, we know that stress grows wherever we feel that sense of disconnect. So rather than trying to manage stress, most of us need to mend the disconnect in our life. We need to see more of ourselves, what we love, what we value, and who we truly want to be in our relationships, our work, and how we present ourselves to the world.
And I think, you know, this is just really highly relevant because so many times, like, that we even go to get medical care, we often fall into the trap of only treating the symptoms but not the root cause.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, IDD, what you're saying is it a real crossover between our physical well-being and our mental well-being. And this gets even dicier, I think, to be able to diagnose or at least to own up to.
Yeah, I think that's actually very well said and really is at the heart of this book, Inspiration Deficit Disorder. There is, for some people, a shocking amount of material on physical wellness. Now, when I say shocking, I don't mean it's a 300-page encyclopedia of physical health. But, you know, the appendix, I have an appendix by Andrew Weil, a very popular integrative medicine physician. He provides a nutritional guideline and an exercise guideline. There's a whole chapter in there on how do we manage our physical life, everything from our home environment to the people we're associating with to how we treat our bodies and the kind of rest that we get.
Mm-hmm.
And what we see is there's a very tight and vicious cycle between our physical health and our mindset and our mindset and our physical health. And the good news is, if you can start to mend the gap between this thing I'm calling the essence and the life that we're living, we find that resiliency increases. We find that vitality increases, and all this goes immediately towards our physical health and recovery. In fact, there are a few stories in the book, not promises, but stories of people who I've worked with who simply by changing their lifestyle and the way they communicate and make choices were able to reverse serious chronic health conditions.
Oh, I think our listeners have heard me talk about this constantly, where I was once in a position that on the surface looked like, you know, the ideal large corporate leadership job. And I was certainly performing to an Oscar award-winning title, but I was incurring some of the most phenomenal back pain over those 2 or 3 years. And I was going to every form of doctor and holistic person as I could possibly find. And, you know, it wasn't until 2 weeks after I left that job that suddenly I had no back pain. And I stood there and said, oh my word, if that wasn't ever a graphic example of how I had let the outside get inside. And of course, for those who struggle with back pain, not all, but most of us, that storing of stress in your spine is exactly what it's all about.
Absolutely. And you know, in the end, it boils down to this surprisingly simple message that we all heard at one time or another growing up, whether it was a teacher or a coach or a parent. You know, they said, be yourself and everything will be fine. Just be yourself, you know? And we hear that, but then at the same time, we're hearing these other messages. And a lot of those other messages are being very heavily subsidized, let's say, by the world around us. And ironically, it's often the simplest changes or maybe the simplest choices that have the biggest impact. But it takes a lot of courage. You know, it takes sometimes some extreme wake-up calls. And for some people, I mean, I guess most of it takes a little support.
Yeah, it certainly does. Although, just a little bit earlier, though, to me, you said the one word that caught my attention that is very, very hard to allow yourself the luxury of, and that's the word rest.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you said rest will lead to resiliency and vitality. Wait a minute. Back that up. Now, how am I supposed to get that rest? How does that work again?
It's incredible. I mean, we now know through medical, sound years of medical research, that the number of hours of sleep that we get absolutely impacts our focus, our resolve, our clarity of thought. And it's a bit like the multitasking phenomena in which most people today, and certainly many successful and ambitious people, are doing 100 things at once. And I find myself doing it too often as well. I'm on the computer. I've got 3 windows open.
Mm-hmm.
I'm texting someone on my cell phone. The telephone's ringing. And I have to catch myself and take a deep breath and remember that even though I can do it, even though I can get by, I'm compromising focus, I'm compromising quality, and I'm also putting an unnecessary amount of stress on my body, on my nervous system. Well, in a similar respect, you know, a lot of us can get by on less sleep, 4 hours, 6 hours, but the average person needs apparently about 7 to 9 hours of sleep. You know, and sort of averaging around 7.5, 8 hours. And incredibly, the average American does not get that much sleep. And 10% of Americans today have actually been diagnosed with a clinical sleep disorder. 10%.
It's huge. And in fact, I think the even more telling sign, it's one thing to get 7 hours of sleep, but to get 7 uninterrupted hours of sleep, that's the real key, is that those good old deep slumbers where you wake up so refreshed. I don't know how many times we get that many times.
Well, you know, that's another really interesting observation you've made, because one of the things that comes up a lot in my work with clients is I'll say, you know, well, you can push the envelope and you can, you know, accept the stress for a period of time, but then there becomes a question of endurance. And there becomes a question of satisfaction, which means, sure, we can push ourselves hard, you know, ignoring maybe our diet, maybe our rest, and so on, to achieve a certain measure of success. But at a certain point, we have to ask ourselves, are we satisfied?
That's right.
Very often what wakes us up in the middle of the night is rooted in that uneasiness. It's that lack of satisfaction. It's kind of the feeling that if I don't worry about this or think about this or solve this or write this down, that somehow tomorrow won't be okay, that somehow my life or my family won't be enough. So working to get yourself to a place where each night when you go to bed, you can say goodnight to your day and goodbye to all your work and simply let it go and trust that you've done the best that you could. And as shocking as this may sound, that even if you didn't wake up in the morning, that you knew you lived your best life, you honored your values, and that the people and things that you love received the attention that they needed. That's one of the key ingredients to a good night's sleep.
But as you said, this idea of multicasting, to think you can just suddenly switch it on and switch it off, it's very, very hard. That whole element of being present, whether it be present with a given individual or just with yourself.
Yes, and one of the things that the key challenges that this raises is our relationship to time. And this shows up as a big factor in the book. I do honestly believe that if most of us could just change how we think about time and how we use time, a lot of these struggles and symptoms and frustrations and worries would actually either lessen or completely disappear. So when I say time, I'm talking about this idea about cramming as much as we can into every hour and every minute, which ultimately leads to the multitasking. So now I'm not just driving, but maybe when I get to the stoplight, because none of us are texting and driving, right?
That's correct.
But when I get to the stoplight, well, then maybe I say, well, you know, I'm at a stoplight. I'll quickly check my emails or quickly send a text. Or, oh, good, I'm in the car. I can get some calls done. Oh, and there's a show on NPR that I want to listen to. And, oh, Zara's show is on. Oh, I want to listen to what she's saying. And, you know, next thing you know, we're trying to fit 10 things into a minute. It really only deserves one or two. So change your relationship to time, and you'll experience a change. I think that's a common piece of advice I offer people.
That's good. For those of you who may have just tuned in, we have with us right now Jonathan Ellerbe, who's author of his latest book, Inspiration Deficit Disorder, The No-Pill Prescription to End High Stress, Low Energy, and Bad Habits. And if you want to go to Jonathan's site at www.jonathanellerbe.com, you can take the Inspiration Deficit Disorder quiz and find out where you might be on that spectrum. How did you come up with your quiz, your six questions, Jonathan?
Well, I guess there's a couple of ways, to be perfectly honest. One was that, you know, I think quizzes are helpful, and people have asked me multiple times, hey, when you come out with this new book, could you have a quiz? How do I know if I have
it? I don't know if I've got it or not, yes.
Yeah, so I think it's sort of a response to demand. The actual questions come from very, very real issues that I hear most commonly. And then maybe the most amusing piece of it all was that one day, as I was weighing out what are the most common things I'm looking for in my clients to see where if they have IDD or and how was I going to answer this question about creating a quiz, I guess I have to admit that I started to think about myself as I was completing the book and what did I suffer from it. So I actually use the questionnaire to keep myself on track. And it's just six very simple questions. But, you know, even when we're doing what we love, which is what I learned, because over the course of the last 6 months, I've scored very well and I've scored very poorly. And when I scored poorly, hey, I was doing what I loved, but I was maybe doing too much of it.
Mm-hmm. That's
or
right, in moderation.
I was, you know, not doing it in balance. So that's one of the traps that we really have to look at when it comes to this kind of deficit, which is, sure, we can start off doing something that inspires us, but if it takes over our identity, if it takes over our sense of self, if it becomes a role that we become addicted to or habitual in, well, then it's really taking as much as it's giving.
Well, I think what you're coming back to, and we started with this, for this idea of taking charge of inspiration deficit disorder, is really learning and knowing how to take care of yourself. But that also takes making the right choices and making that known to those people around you So I suspect also your advice runs deep in this area of being very aware of the circumstances you choose to be in and the people around you.
Well said. I couldn't say it better myself.
So then it comes to some points, though, you can't always pick and choose who you have around you, right? So you have to probably develop some defense mechanisms to ward them off or shift the context of how you might react to that given person.
Yeah, and I think this raises something important for people to hear, which is, you know, the idea of an inspired life. You know, I don't ever want to fool people into thinking that I'm suggesting that we can all be happy all the time, or that we can all get what we want all the time. But it is about finding that kind of joy and vitality most of the time. And absolutely, there's going to be people, places, and things that are simply hard to deal with. So then the question becomes, if I can't change the situation, either because I've accepted it for one reason or another, or I don't want to change it, or it's ultimately beyond my control, can I find meaningful ways to keep myself strong, resilient, and motivated? And so, sure, for some people, their job may be tough, but in their downtime, they're following their hobbies and they're hanging out with people that are inspiring, and they're doing what they love. Other people, their job is inspiring, but maybe they have challenges in their personal life, health, or family crisis. So it's not that it's all going to be perfect all the time, but the more inspiration we have, the more connection we have to who we really are, I'd say the more capacity we have to manage the difficult time.
Very well said. Well, I do have a question for you now. So it was 18 months ago you had in your close of your press packet the word IDD. Are you already starting to feel the compassion and compunction around writing yet a third book? What's next, Jonathan?
Much to my wife's dismay, I have three other books outlined. But I'm going to do my best to be very present with what I'm going through, to do my best to promote and share this information, which I really think is going to help some people, which is my main goal for sharing this. And once we get beyond the push and hopefully a measure of success, whatever that means, I got my next book already outlined.
Terrific. Well, great. And we'll look forward to tagging you then. So again, thanks for being on here on Circles of Change. And it's a pleasure for you folks who are listening here to take a good look at the opportunity to pick up Jonathan Ellerbe's latest book, The Inspiration Deficit Disorder, The No-Pill Prescription to High-End Stress, Low Energy, and Bad Habits. And I'd also encourage you to go right to jonathanellerbe.com for all sorts of other resources and webinars and online coaching and the like that Jonathan's doing. Thanks so much for joining us, Jonathan.
And thank you for all your inspiring work.
You bet.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.